What's up, aviators? I'm Holly Blino, your host of The Aviator's Guide. Thanks so much for joining me today on another episode. And I don't know about you guys, but I can finally see the end of the 90-degree weather days, and I am stoked about that. Knowing myself, though, I'll probably only last about a week of those cooler temperatures until I'm wishing summer was back already. And another thing that I'm excited about besides these cooler temperatures is that my next guest on The Aviator's Guide is going to be a DPE, which stands for Designated Pilot Examiner. These are the people that perform all the check rides for everybody who wants to get a license or rating, and I'm so excited to have him on the show so we can get some questions answered. And if you have any questions that you've been hankering to ask a DPE, go ahead and send those questions my way to youraviatorsguide@gmail.com. I'll try to ask as many of those questions that you guys send my way when I have him on my show. And while you're emailing me those questions, go ahead and send me some other guests you would like to see on the show. I'm happy to oblige. And one more thing before we get started today, I had a fellow pilot ask me a question and I thought I'd share that with you guys. So the question was, how many hours did I have when I first started doing contract flying? And that's about 750 flight hours. But I do know pilots who have started doing contract flying with 300 hours or 500 hours. So you don't have to have 750 hours to do contract flying. You just have to meet the right people. And how I came across that contract flying was very lucky. It was definitely right place, right time kind of thing. I was sitting in the FBO debriefing with a student after we completed an instrument flight. And to be honest, I don't remember what I said, but apparently it impressed this man and he asked me to reach out to him via the ladies that worked at the FBO. Once I contacted him, he originally wanted me to instruct a client's daughter, but it just turned into him inviting me to go fly with him, and from there, me getting my Citation 500 SIC rating. So it worked out in my favor, and that allowed me to not only make some awesome connections, make a little bit of extra money on the side, build some multi-engine jet hours, but also to learn about aircraft that I hadn't really been in before, how to be a second in command, and the responsibilities of doing so. And it's been a fantastic journey, and I'm very thankful to have had that happen in my life. Okay, so let's get started on today's topic. I'm going to be going into detail about all the requirements that you need to get your private pilot license for the airplane single engine land, or your PPL for ASEL. We're going to be covering government requirements, including the testing requirements and the aeronautical experience requirements. And besides all that, you have to care. You can't just come into training, do the bare minimum, and expect to make it through that way. And even if you do, no one's going to want a pilot like that. Also, keep in mind that there'll be links for everything I talk about today in the show notes. So let's go over the FAA, or Federal Aviation Administration, requirements for you to get your private pilot license, or PPL. You have to be 17 years young. You have to be able to read, speak, write, and understand English. You have to have your student pilot's license, which I discussed in episode 3, talking about all the licenses and ratings. You have to receive 2 endorsements from an authorized instructor that you are not only prepared for the written exam, but that you have completed all of the required aeronautical knowledge either at home or with that instructor for that written exam. You have to then pass the written exam. Then you have to receive 2 more endorsements from an authorized instructor stating that you are not only prepared for the practical test, aka the check ride, but that you have completed all the flight areas of operation required in Part 61-107. You have to meet all of the required aeronautical experience with the necessary training hours, which I'll talk about that shortly. You have to comply with all FARs, Federal Aviation Regulations, regarding that category and class being sought. I know some of you may be like, whoa, hold on, what is aircraft category and class? So let me break that down for you really quickly. The aircraft category is the most broad differentiation. 2 very common aircraft categories are, of course, airplane and rotorcraft, or helicopters. There are other categories as well, such as lighter than air, meaning like hot air balloons. And now there are classes of each category. 2 class examples of the airplane category are single engine land and multi-engine land. I hope that helps you understand category versus class a little bit more. All right, and the last requirement for you to get your PPL is to pass your check ride, aka your practical test. Now that you know all the basic requirements per the FAA to get your PPO, let's talk about each of these things in more detail, starting with the private pilot written exam, aka the knowledge test. At the time of this video, this test hasn't changed in years, so it's fairly easy to pass. A 70 or higher is a passing score for this written exam, and the higher score you get, the easier your check ride will be, because that check ride has the oral portion on the ground and then the flight portion in the air. In that oral portion on the ground, they'll be covering the questions that you missed in your written exam. So the higher grade you make, the less questions you'll have to cover with that DPE on the ground. And you cannot take your check ride until you pass this written exam. Say you took the written exam a year ago. Can you take your check ride? Yes. You have 2 years from taking your written exam to take your check ride. But don't wait that long. Don't take your written exam until you're getting close to take that check ride. When it comes to studying for this exam, there are a bunch of resources out there to help you pass it. So let's go over a few of those. We've got Sporties, King School, the Pilot Institute, and also ASA. ASA makes that written test prep book I talked about in episode 5 for flight school supplies. And then they also have that ASA Prepware app that you can buy for $10. And if you go to Part 141 flight school, the ground school you take will suffice for this written exam. So you don't have to do anything else besides just go to your ground school. No matter which way you prepare for the written exam, you have to have those two endorsements from an authorized instructor stating that you are prepared for the written exam and that you have studied all of the required aeronautical knowledge. Say that you are going to a Part 61 school and not a Part 141 flight school without a full-time instructor teaching you ground knowledge. That's where Sporties, King School, and the Pilot Institute come in handy. All three of those not only teach you all the ground knowledge that you need, but they'll give you the endorsements to take that written exam and give you written exam prep as well. I haven't personally used the Pilot Institute, but I've used King Schools and Sporties, and they're both pretty good. So maybe shop around for the cheapest option because they're all going to give you the same information, or at least they should. And again, as I mentioned for Part 141, if you had that specific ground school with the ground instructor, that said instructor will give you your endorsements that you need for your written exam. And whenever you do get that aeronautical knowledge endorsement, whether it's from an instructor or from Sporties, King School, or the Pilot Institute, they're looking that you have covered a few topics, 13 topics to be exact, according to 61-105, which is a FAR, Federal Aviation Regulation. You have to cover private pilot privileges, limitations, and flight operations, accident reporting, the AIM or Aeronautical Information Manual, and AC's advisory circulars pertaining to getting your PPL, using and understanding those sectional charts I talked about in episode 4 for VFR navigation, radio communication procedures, weather information, including reports and forecasts, safe aircraft operations, takeoff and climb performance, weight and balance computations, aerodynamics, power plant and aircraft systems, stall and spin awareness, ADM, what does that mean, guys? Aeronautical decision making and judgment, and detailed pre-flight actions. Remember how in a previous episode I mentioned how you're not only going to be a pilot, but a meteorologist, a mathematician, and a scientist as well? Well, that's why. Those are all the knowledge areas that you have to cover. And I know it sounds like a lot of information, guys, but don't be overwhelmed. It's all really fun stuff to learn and super cool. And wow, I sound like such a nerd right now. But it is. I loved learning through flight school because the topics are so interesting. If you'd like any additional studying on top of Sporties, King School, or the Pilot Institute, or your 141 ground school, then you can get the ASA test prep book. It's not required. It's not going to give you any endorsements. It's just additional help. I studied that book for my written exam and I got 100%. So I think it works pretty good. And don't forget the ASA Pilot Prepware. It's the same thing as the book, but in an app, and it makes it easier to study on the go. And also, every answer in that ASA book and app has an explanation as to why that's the answer. The more you understand, the easier that test will be for you. No matter how you do that ground training or get your endorsement, you have to sign yourself up for that written exam. No one does it for you, but it's really easy. Don't worry. You're just going to go to faa.psipapasiraindiaexams.com, faa.psiexams.com. You'll create a login. You'll accept a couple of terms and conditions after I'm sure you're going to read through every single one of them. And then you'll search your zip code and you'll pick your time. The time slots are 2.5 hours per test, and then you'll pay $175 for the written exam. My flight school for Part 141 gave us codes to use when we purchased the written exam, so we didn't actually have to pay extra for them. But if you're in Part 61 school, you will have to pay for these out of pocket. If you go to Part 141 school that doesn't pay for your written exams, let me know because I'm interested. When you go into your written exam, you can't bring anything with you but your dignity and your brain. Hopefully you have those both when you get back out of there. You can't even wear a hat because they clearly don't trust you, as people have cheated in the past because there's always one, right? Or a few. You will, however, have to bring with you a government-issued photo ID and those two endorsements that you received from your instructor or from Sporties, King School, or the Pilot Institute. If you go to Part 141 flight school, they should give you some sort of ground certificate showing that you completed the required knowledge, and that should be sufficient for you to get that written exam done. If you're not sure what the testing center has for supplies, you may want to call ahead of time and check and see what they give you for the exam. Usually they have everything that you need and it's all the same material. And some of the items that they have should sound familiar to you because I talked about them in episodes 4 and 5 about flight school supplies. So they should have a flight computer. You may want to call and see which one they have, because if they have an E6B manual, but you're used to using an E6B electronic, that may hinder you a little bit. So just call ahead and check what they have. They should provide a plotter, a testing supplement, aka a figure book, some pencils, and some scratch paper. And that scratch paper, you're not allowed to take it out of the testing center with you when you're finished. After you finish your exam, your results should be printed immediately by the exam proctor, so you'll know right away if you passed or failed. But I'm sure all you guys are going to pass, right? Right? Right. Once you get those printed results, make sure and keep them, because you'll have to give those results to your DPE on the day of your check ride. Because that paper will show codes of the ACS, or Airman Certification Standards, of the knowledge areas that you missed, and the DPE will use those codes to ask you questions during the oral portion of your check ride. So again, the higher grade you make, the easier your check ride will be. The check ride is your second and last test to get your PPL. Unless you're in a Part 141 flight training, then you'll have some tests during those ground courses, and you'll also have stage checks to make sure that you're progressing properly during your flight training. When it comes to that ground training in Part 141, you are required to have 35 hours of it, whereas in Part 61, there is no required amount of time you need of ground training. You just have to cover all that aeronautical knowledge and get the endorsements for it. All right, now what do we need to get into this check ride? We need to have those dollar bills, because you're not going to get a check ride if you don't have the cash. You need to pass your written exam with at least a 70. You have to have those two endorsements from your authorized instructor stating that you are ready for the practical exam or the check ride, and that you have covered all the required areas of operation in 61107. I'm sure you're wondering, what are those areas of operation, Holly? Well, let me tell you about them. There are 12 flight training requirements for airplane single engine land: pre-flight preparation, pre-flight procedures, airport operations, takeoffs, landings, and go-arounds. Go-arounds, if you're not familiar, are just if you decide not to land for any reason, you're going to go around. Performance maneuvers, ground reference maneuvers, navigation, slow flight and stalls, basic instrument maneuvers, emergency operations, night operations, and post-flight procedures. And on top of all of that, you have to complete the aeronautical experience in terms of flight hours, type of flight training, and solo time. This aeronautical experience is a big one, guys, and it changes depending on if you're Part 141 or Part 61. So let's talk about that. Generally, Part 141 can be a little bit more costly, mostly because you're paying for all that ground school. But this is where a perk of 141 comes in handy, as if you're going to 141 school, the flight hours are less than the required amount for Part 61 school. For the PPL, the 141 requirements aren't much less than the 61 requirements. The bigger differential comes in later, particularly for your commercial license. I'm going to cover both Part 141 and Part 61 simultaneously so you can see an immediate comparison. For Part 141, you have to have 35 hours of total flight time. 20 hours of that has to be done with an authorized instructor, and up to 20% of that flight time can be done in a simulator. In a later episode, I'll cover types of simulators, but just know that for now. Part 61 requires 40 hours of total flight time. 20 hours of that is still required to be with an authorized instructor. For Part 141, you're required to have 5 hours of solo flight time, whereas Part 61, you're required to have 10 hours of solo flight time. Both Part 141 and Part 61 have almost the exact same two requirements that have to be included within that solo time. You have to have one solo cross country of 100 nautical miles for Part 141 or 150 nautical miles for Part 61. And in that cross country, you have to have done 3 landings at 3 different airports, and you have to have one straight line distance of 50 nautical miles between points. And the second solo flight time requirement, that's the same for both Part 61 and Part 141, is you have to have done 3 takeoffs and 3 landings to a full stop in an airport traffic pattern with an operating control tower. Remember how I said Part 141 requires 5 solo hours, where Part 61 requires 10? Well, 5 of those 10 required hours in Part 61 have to be solo cross-country time. The rest of the items are the same, no matter if you're 141 or Part 61. You have to have 3 hours of cross-country flight training with an instructor. You have to have 1 cross-country night flight of more than 100 nautical miles. You have to complete 10 takeoffs and 10 landings to a full stop at night in an airport traffic pattern. Side note for all you cool people training in Alaska, the night flight training requirements are a little bit different as per 61-110. The link to that's in the show notes. You have to have 3 hours of flight training in an aircraft, not a simulator, with flight by reference to instruments. These can be done in actual IMC, instrument meteorological conditions, or simulated IMC using a view-limiting device, which I talked about back in episode 5, Flight School Supplies Part 2. And the last requirement of aeronautical experience is that you have to have 3 hours of practical test prep within the preceding 60 days before your check ride. That's it, guys. And I know it may seem like a lot, but that's what your flight instructor is going to be there for. They will walk you through what's needed and ensure that you have met all of the requirements. So don't fret, my friend. And the reason why they're going to ensure that everything's correct is because not only, I'm sure, are they a fantastic instructor, but it's their license on the line when they give you an endorsement. So they're going to make sure it's right. You should be more than ready now to get your PPL, guys, or your private pilot license. Let me know if you liked this video or if I missed anything. And don't forget to email me any questions you have for my DPE guest I have coming up to youraviatorsguide@gmail.com. And if you haven't already, you can subscribe for free to my YouTube channel, and then you can like this video. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, go ahead and rate, review, and follow my podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. I post every Friday just for you guys. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll talk to you in October. Keep studying, and I'll see you later, aviators.